It's important to recognize right up front that we simply do not know with absolute certainty how God's name was originally pronounced. The common English pronunciation of Yahweh is an educated guess, but we'll never know for sure how it sounded when God spoke it to Moses. Two key things prevent us from knowing. Number one, Hebrew was written without vowels for many centuries, so we're left with only four consonants, YHWH. And number two, people started avoiding the pronunciation of God's name long before Hebrew began to be written with vowels. And when the Hebrew Bible was finally written with vowels, artificial vowels were inserted into the spelling of God's name in order to keep people from pronouncing it. So in this article, we'll try to understand why. Why did the Israelites go from swearing by Yahweh's name, using it in prayer, song, and greetings, to forbidding its use altogether? So let's talk about clues from the Bible first. God himself gives us a clue as to what might have motivated this historical change of attitude towards his name in the book of Amos. This book goes back at least to the 8th century BC, and thus represents the oldest evidence of what might have caused the shift. Amos warns the people of the coming exile and destruction that will punish their pride and oppression of the poor and needy. And as he describes the horrors of Yahweh's imminent judgment, he says, "If the relative who comes to carry the bodies out of the house to burn them asks anyone who might be hiding there, 'Is anyone else with you?' And he says, 'No,' then he will go on to say, 'Hush, we must not mention the name of Yahweh.'" Amos 6:10. Thus there exists the possibility that some Hebrews were so traumatized by what happened under Yahweh's judgment that they preferred not to talk about him anymore. This trauma could have easily developed into never mentioning his name for fear that they might somehow run the risk of falling under a similar judgment. This trauma-induced fear could have then evolved into the substitution of titles for God's name, which the Jews later labeled as a sign of reverence or respect. This idea of avoiding his name out of reverence or respect, however, cannot be found in Scripture, but rather is described in later man-made traditions. It's also important to recognize that an ancient contingent of Karaite Jews condemned these traditions, saying that those who insist on avoiding the pronunciation of God's name should be considered unbelievers. And as a brief aside here, since we're speaking of Jews and the pronunciation of God's name, the common misconception is that all Jews are deeply offended when someone pronounces God's name. And this is false. Many Jews simply don't care, while many actively pronounce God's name. And if you think I'm making that up, let me play a clip from a video of a religious Jew introducing himself, and then I'll cut to a clip, one of the many clips or instances where he actually refers to God as Yahweh and pronounces his name aloud.
Dennis Prager, welcome.
Dr. Peterson and all of you, it's a joy to be with you. I am living my dream in my life being here, and that is to spread the Torah to the world. I am a religious Jew, and I'm blessed to know biblical Hebrew. I started it at the age of 5. I still have to translate to English whenever I think of a verse. The Torah, this is not known to almost any non-Jew. The Torah is primus inter pares in the Bible, first among equals. I was raised, and I still believe that the Torah is from God. It says that they feared God and didn't listen to Pharaoh. Again, it's one of my favorite lines in the whole Bible. You either fear humans or you fear God. Mm-hmm. Fear God is the root of freedom and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
The word for God is not Jehovah or Yahweh, it's Elohim. So when Jews fear God, it's generally fear Yahweh. And in this case, it's fear Elohim, the universal word for God, and I am convinced that they are Egyptians.
Now back to the article. During the intertestamental period, the Hebrew Bible was translated into Greek, popularly called the Septuagint. And an interesting thing happened in the translation of Leviticus 24:16. The original Hebrew reads, "The one who blasphemes," and that's the word or the root nakav in Hebrew, "the one who blasphemes the name of Yahweh shall surely be put to death." But the Greek version reads, "The one who names the name of the Lord will surely be put to death." Here, the act of blaspheming is translated into Greek as the simple act of naming. The manuscript tradition of Leviticus in Greek is unanimous without variation on this text. The Septuagint translators may have rendered to blaspheme in Leviticus 24:16 as to name for any of the following reasons. Number one, in a spirit of piety, they could not even bring themselves to translate the verb to curse, blaspheme, or slander when it was so directly connected to the divine name. So they used circumlocution to generalize or soften the phrase. Number two, they simply misunderstood the Hebrew verb. And number three, they allowed a belief about pronouncing the divine name to influence their translation. Because of the Septuagint's strong influence on post-exilic Judaism and the early church, this reading may have led to the proliferation of sentiments against the pronunciation of the name. If an anti-pronunciation belief was already prevalent during the time of the translation, then it may have served to strengthen that belief. This is admittedly speculation, but nevertheless an important piece of evidence that needs to be mentioned and considered in the search for why the tide turned against the vocalizing of the divine name. Now let's turn to clues from outside the Bible. The Babylonian Talmud offers another explanation, but not as ancient as Amos or the Septuagint. The prohibition against the use of God's name began as one of the anti-Torah decrees enacted by the Seleucid Greek tyrant Antiochus IV Epiphanes around 168 BC. This was part of his plan to convert the Jews to Hellenism. But when Judas Maccabeus defeated the Greeks, he restored the use of the divine name and established a law requiring the use of God's name in contracts so that every Jew would regain the habit of using it. But the rabbis were opposed to this decree and banned its use in contracts because those contracts might eventually be burned with the divine name written on them. Now, the Essene community, who copied the Dead Sea Scrolls, also strictly forbade speaking God's name in any context, including prayer, but they give no reason for this in their rule book. Later writings in the Mishnah from the 3rd century AD describe a developing attitude of Jewish teaching on the issue. Quote, "The following have no portion in the world to come. Ellipsis, one who pronounces the divine name as it is written." That's found in Mishnah Sanhedrin 10:1. Ironically, there is much rabbinic teaching that has contradicted the ban on speaking God's name. If you read Mishnah Berachot 9:5, 54a 1 through 9, 63a 7 through 8, and Makot 23b 10, and other Jewish commentaries on Judges 6:12, you'll find ancient rabbinic agreement that using God's name in simple greetings, as Boaz did, is not only permitted, but should be encouraged. Strangely, the typical practice and overwhelming culture around the divine name in Israel today is one completely contrary to what these traditional Jewish commentaries conclude. And in my research, I have not found a reason for this, and it is difficult to know with any certainty when the ban on using the name became mainstream. Now let's look at some clues from the Septuagint. The majority tradition of the Greek translation of the Old Testament, or Old Greek, used Kurios, Lord, in place of the divine name. The great Christian manuscripts, Sinaiticus, Alexandrinus, and Vaticanus, all have Kurios in place of God's name. What motivated this? Some have suggested that this was a strategy used by authorities to facilitate the Hellenizing of Jews. By suppressing the special name of God and using Kurios, it made it more universal and easier to harmonize with the emperors and the gods of the Greco-Roman world. But some Greek manuscripts of the Old Testament differ from the standard of using Kurios for the name, especially amongst the Dead Sea Scrolls. For example, the Nahal Hever scroll fragments of the Minor Prophets, dated from about 50 BC to 50 AD, have the divine name written in Paleo-Hebrew script in 28 places. Another scroll has Yao, I-A-O, in the place of the divine name. So whether the original Septuagint translators first chose to use Kurios or something else remains inconclusive. leaving us to speculate. Whatever the case may be, it appears that there was controversy or confusion amongst the Septuagint translators and revisers regarding what to do with the divine name, as well as a special interest in it. The practice of substituting the title Kurios, Lord, for God's name was widespread, but no one ever revealed a clear reason as to why. And there's much more to say about the Septuagint evidence, which you can read for free in my book on the divine name, which I'll link in the description. So if you think the evidence looks confusing, that's because it is. It seems that ancient Jewish tradition was divided on what to do with God's name, but there is no conclusive reason as to why some banned its use. Was it due to the trauma of exile? The mistranslation of Leviticus 24:16, the prohibition of an evil tyrant, reverence, or a combination of all of these? It's impossible to be certain with the evidence we have, but we do know that it eventually became standard to avoid pronouncing God's name, especially in Jewish circles. And this played a part in the loss of how it originally sounded. In the next article, we'll take a look at what the New Testament authors did with the divine name.